Time to get our local view. He's the columnist for the Register Guard. Find his work on the cover of the sports section or online, registerguard.com. On Twitter, it's at Austin Meek RG. Austin, how are you on this fine Tuesday?
I'm awesome, Steve. How are you doing?
Really well, really well. I want to begin with Oregon State baseball. I always insist that magical run they went on from 05 to 07 is a big reason Oregon has baseball. Super Regional starts Friday. For those around here who don't follow, their regular season was historic. You wrote about them. What, for folks who are not overly familiar with this team, what would you call some of their dominating aspects?
Well, I think they're just a team that doesn't have a weakness. Their lineup, 1 through 9, is, you know, there's no weak spots in that lineup. They have some power. They hit for average. They have speed. They play great defense. And, oh, by the way, they have the best pitching staff in the country.
Yeah.
Luke Heimlich has a minuscule ERA that you need a microscope to see. And Jake Thompson isn't far behind that. So I'll be surprised if Oregon State doesn't win at all. I know that it's, you know, anything can happen. And sometimes the best team doesn't always win. But I talked to somebody at the game the other day who covered all of Oregon State's College World Series teams and said this was the best Oregon State team he's ever seen.
Whoa.
And I think that's certainly warranted.
Now, Pat Casey obviously is synonymous with that program. Probably, like, I don't know, no other coach in the conference. 23 years, I found what you wrote about his early years with the Beavs telling. He didn't have what you would call stability. The program struggled. What did he have to say about how that kind of helped him back then and kind of continues to motivate him now?
Well, I didn't know this until he told me, but Pat said his first 11 years at Oregon State, he signed 11 consecutive one-year contracts.
Wow.
That's pretty unheard of in big-time college sports. I know times have changed a little bit, but even then, you know, that says something. And people forget, you know, the first 10 years that Pat was at Oregon State, they didn't make the tournament.
Right.
They didn't have their big breakthrough until 2005 when they went to the College World Series. So, you know, it's a testament to patience that they stuck with Pat and they've been – rewarded for it. And I think it's also maybe a little peek into his psyche. You know, he is a very, very intense guy. If you see him, you know, in the dugout during a game, after games, you know, there's not a lot of messing around with Pat. He's all business. And I've talked to him on a couple occasions, sort of away from it a little bit. And he, you know, he's not that way all the time, but between the lines, he is totally focused. And I think some of that comes from, you know, I think he's still kind of in some way the same guy who was sort of coaching for his job every season, every year. You know, there's just because they've had some success, there's been no part of Pat Casey that has become at all complacent. And I think that's part of why they can have a season like they've had this year.
We're talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Sometimes a team has a monster regular season, and you kind of hear championship or bust. You kind of alluded to it. We know they're still pretty young in some places. Would we say it's vital they at least make it to Omaha, or have they accomplished something relatively substantial already?
Well, Pat made the point that to win the Pac-12, no matter what happens after that, is a significant achievement, and he's right. They've accomplished things already that, you know, will stand in Oregon State history. But if they want to be remembered as one of the great teams of all time, or maybe the greatest team of all time, yeah, they have to win the College World Series. They certainly can't lose in their Super Regional at home. You know, the 2014 team that had Michael Conforto, that was a great team, too, that had an amazing regular season. But they lost at home in a regional, and, you know, that team probably is not going to be remembered, certainly with the same reverence as the College World Series team. So it's not only what happens in the postseason that determines the legacy of a team, but when you're talking about the absolute best of all time, yeah, you got to finish it in the postseason.
Along those lines, thought on Oregon softball. They had the historic start, hot finish, couple exciting wins in the regional and super regional, won a couple in the World Series. You know, they'll lose two seniors, Great players, Udrea and Mercado, Sammy Puentes. So while a bit disappointing for them, I mean, they made it, and pretty logical to think this program's going to be back.
Yeah, you certainly would think so. Now, Oregon softball has almost gotten to the point where, you know, I would make the analogy with Kansas basketball, where even their rebuilding years or their down years, they make a run. You know, they have a great regular season. They get a good seed, and they go deep in the tournament. And, you know, at some point, people start talking about, well, why haven't they won a title? You know, they've had all these chances to win a title, and they haven't won one. And sometimes it's just as simple as the fact that in their rebuilding years, they've really overachieved. You know, you look at a year when they go to the World Series with as young a team as they have this year, and, you know, yeah, it goes down as one more year that they made the World Series and they didn't win it. But I'm not sure they were supposed to be in the World Series this year. I think getting there for this team was a big accomplishment. So I do think it's a matter of time. I don't think this was their year. I guess that's obvious in hindsight, but I think that experience of getting there will serve them. And when they eventually do knock the door down and win a title, I think they'll look back at years like this one as steps that they had to take along the way.
Nah, I think that's a good take. I agree with you on that. All right, our goofy question of the week. Albert Pujols hits his 600th homer. He's at home. Some college student, 23 years old, caught it and gave it back. Didn't want a reward. To me, it's like hitting a little lottery. I'd be reasonable, but I want mine. What do you think? What do you think your reaction would be if you caught a historic homer like that?
Well, I gotta applaud that kid for his generosity. I think once you get out in the world and you have a mortgage to pay, you realize that when you get a valuable investment, you don't just let it go for free. So if it had been me, I probably would have started with asking for lifetime season tickets and maybe negotiate from there. Not a big memorabilia guy. I don't have a big room in my house where I keep memorabilia, so the ball to me would not have been worth that much, but I certainly would have tried to milk it for something.
Oh, yeah. I would have been exchanging debit card information, no question about it. I want to get to what you wrote yesterday, and I know he's kind of a cliche around here. He's on the Mount Rushmore of Oregon quarterbacks, was in town for the Emerald Valley Boys and Girls Club benefit golf tournament, and now Bill Musgrave is the new quarterback coach for the Broncos. You know, I never really put two and two together. He's part of the Raiders last year, who ended that eternal playoff drought. So catch us up. Why did he lose his Oakland gig?
Well, Bill Musgrave has really become one of the all-time NFL journeymen as a coach. I think he's been with 11 different stops in 20 years as a coach. Some of those were the same team twice, but 11 different stops in the NFL. And this one was a little surprising because, like you mentioned, the Raiders had a breakthrough year last year and made the playoffs for the first time since 2002. Their offense was, until Derek Carr got hurt, their offense was really strong. But I guess the story was they had a quarterbacks coach who was kind of an up-and-coming young coach, had a really good relationship with the quarterback, and Jack Del Rio decided to promote the quarterbacks coach in order to keep him on the staff, which left Bill looking for another job. But I think it's worked out okay for Bill because, you know, he has connections with Denver. He's from Colorado. He played in Denver. So it was kind of a natural landing spot for him to catch on with the Broncos.
Yeah, Todd Downing was the guy.
Yeah.
Interesting, Musgrave's got a connection to former Duck coach Chip Kelly. What did he have to say about, I guess, briefly working with Kelly and maybe what he learned and how he thinks the Chipster's going to be as an ESPN analyst?
Well, Bill says that he thinks Chip will do very well as an ESPN analyst. Now, I will say about Bill, he's a very, very nice man. This is the first time I'd interviewed him. Very nice man. not going to get a lot out of him. So if he'd absolutely hated his year with Chip, he wasn't going to tell me that. So he was very perfunctory in his comments, but said he had a great time with Chip, learned a lot, and he thinks Chip will do well as an announcer. I'm a little more wait and see on that. Some former coaches are great in that role. Some are not. We'll see with Chip. I'm not sure which camp he's going to fall into.
No, I am totally bursting with curiosity, no question about it. Last thought for Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Terry Fry, well-known around here, the name formerly of the Denver Post. So Memorial Day, everybody knows now. He tweeted, he's uncomfortable with a Japanese driver winning the Indy 500. There's a lot of tentacles to this. Is this a case of a guy who just never should have hit post? An older guy who still doesn't get there are digital footprints that don't go away? Or just, well, that was a moronic comment and he deserved to get fired. Where are you on this?
Well, I'll say this. I don't know Terry well. I've talked to him a couple times, and everything I know of him is that he's a good guy, a very good journalist, a very good writer. He's written some very good books. And, of course, people in Eugene will know him as Jerry Fry's son, former Oregon football coach, connections around here. So nothing that I know about Terry, you know, suggests that you know, he holds any deep-seated biases against, you know, another race or anything like that. I think that it is an example of the age we live in where, you know, anything that you tweet, you know, one thought that you don't completely think through could come back to bite you. And I live with that fear every day as a journalist. Like, this thing that I tweet could end up on my tombstone if I'm not careful. You know, an entire career, entire career in journalism could be overshadowed by one little 140 character tweet. So certainly it was, you know, it was ill advised. I think if Terry was trying to make a point about the absurdity of war and how crazy it is that, you know, 70 years ago people from the United States and Japan were killing each other, and now a Japanese driver can win the Indianapolis 500. You know, I think there's maybe a legitimate point to be made there, especially for a guy like Terry, whose father fought in World War II.
Yep.
But certainly the way he phrased it, it didn't come out that way. And it's, you know, right or wrong, that's the world we live in. One tweet can really come back to bite you.
I literally, Nick can testify, I just wrote down, don't let a tweet land on my tombstone.
These are my only goal in life.
This is now my mission, our mission in life. I may thank you for this someday. All right, Austin. great stuff as always. Always appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up soon.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Take it easy.